This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You want to bring Gaddafi before the international...
Just being put to bed, and my assistant Rick...
Holding on literally by the tips of my fingers.
I'm saddened, and I am outraged by this attack.
Take your sticky paws off.
I like Wiener.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. The video cast on PhilHendryShow.com in high definition video, big screen, all that. Man, it's the only radio, the only radio show in the world that's interesting to watch as well as listen to, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We have climbed many a mountain. We have swum many a river. We have,
Yeah, like that one song in that movie, Climb Every River, or however it goes.
You know, Climb a River. You mean Man from La Mancha? Is that what that is?
I don't know.
Climb every mountain, swim every river.
Yeah. What did I say?
Climb every river and swim every mountain. What the hell are you talking about, man? Anyway, this is we've been around is the whole point I'm trying to say, and we're very happy to be with you tonight. If you're looking at our high-definition video cast this evening, you're looking at a series of stills, background stills, that were produced for us by Jason Smith, one of our very artistic listeners. And Jason he's nuts because he's got, like, sewer systems. What do you see there, Robert?
Man, they got one here that looks like alien, you know, like alien lamb. Yeah, it looks like where the alien lives.
Yeah, so we got one here of the alien's crib. And then the next one, well,
that looks like a porn studio.
Yeah, that looks like a studio where they shoot porn. So it's great, Jason. Thanks very much, man. I'm kidding. No, we love it. And, of course, you can access this at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, online at philhendryshow.com. And pick up our merchandise, too, at our website. We've got our Best Of CDs as well as the Phil Hendry Show shot glass. You get a BSP, get your shot glass, join us for a video cast, and it's a beautiful thing. And this is only like our third, so,
Yeah, I figured out when you did that commercial.
Well, I did a little teeny commercial for the video cast of me pitching the website, but I don't know what happened there, man. It was weird because everybody could hear the audio except for me. We'll find out. All right, I'm increasingly interested, and not for any reason other than it's become like it's a soap opera. It's part of the TV world. It's the Wisconsin 14, and it's that, and it's Charlie Sheen. Those are the two things that are keeping me alive. Everything else bores me to death.
They didn't do much else on the news, man.
Everything else bores me to tears, except for the Wisconsin story and Charlie Sheen. First off, Wisconsin. The 14 Wisconsin state senators who left the state 2 weeks ago will now face fines of $100 for each day they miss if they miss two or more days. Good luck enforcing that. Good luck not having that go all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of this here America. What do you think about that, huh?
How come? Yeah, they can do that.
They can pass any law they want. They also have a law in the state of Wisconsin which says you cannot convene a quorum unless you have one member of the minority party. They haven't done it. And they have one of the most balled up legal systems I've ever heard of in my life. This is an absolute, utter fiasco. It's an absolute, utter fiasco. And this is not a Democrat problem or a Republican problem. The laws... The bylaws, the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin is jive-ass. And I can only hope and pray that somebody's picked up the cue here. All 49 other states, are you guys looking into your constitutions in case the same thing happens?
Oh, man, if this goes on all over the... I mean, what happens if everybody tried to do this?
If everybody tries to do this after Wisconsin, then everybody needs their head examined. Everyone belongs in a mental hospital because they see it coming. All you got to do is take a look at Wisconsin and go, I think we better bust out the state constitution, make sure this crap can't happen to us. They can't get those guys back in for love or money, man.
Yeah, they can't. They're going to fine them.
Big deal. Hey, man, we're going to fine you $100 a day. Fine, go ahead, fine me. I'm going to take you to court anyway. I'm taking the whole thing to court. I'm taking the governor to court. I'm taking the whole process to court. Go ahead and fine me. They don't care that they're being fined. You got 14 state Democrats in Wisconsin that believe they have the moral high ground, and they are being backed up by a significant number of protesters there in the Capitol. And if fat ass is to be believed, because every now and again I follow Michael Moore's tweets.
I told you not to follow that guy, man.
Well, I'm following his tweets. And if he's to be believed, he made the statement the other day on Twitter that the state police are backing him up. That's the Wisconsin Highway Patrol is backing these protesters up. So these 14 Democrats have the moral high road in saying that we are protecting workers' rights and the public, the popular vote be damned. Republicans remaining in the Senate approved the daily fine on Wednesday morning with none of the Democrats present. Now, how the hell are you able to approve that and not anything else?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. But
well, they can't, man. They can't. The Democrats left Wisconsin in order to delay indefinitely a Republican-backed bill taking away collective bargaining rights from public employees. Why do they keep saying that? They're taking away certain collective bargaining rights, and I understand that it probably makes me a fascist for, qualifying it that way, you know.
What do you mean a fascist, like a right winger?
Yeah, pretty much. The furthest right of the right. It probably makes me a fascist for saying, well, you know, I hate to point out what it obviously has been reported, but that's what I'm doing. Anyway, Republicans need a single Democrat to cross party lines and rejoin the 33-member legislature to meet the quorum of 20 lawmakers required in a vote on the controversial budget repair bill. Only 17 lawmakers are required for most other issues, but 20 lawmakers are required in a vote on the controversial budget repair bill. Only 17 lawmakers are required for other issues? Oh, so fining the Democrats. All right. The resolution passed on Wednesday also requires the missing Democrats to reimburse the Senate for costs. Republicans have already withheld the checks of missing Democrats from direct deposit and denied access to copying machines for the staff. Now, that's something that might get them in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not paying them.
I mean, yeah, holding back their paychecks. But if they are organized enough, they're going to have people supporting them and obviously making available to them funds or whatever else resources that they need. According to television station WTMJ's Mick Trevy, there are punishments incorporated into the resolution which would allow for the removal of offices from senators to downsize their offices, to take away spending capabilities. It's a lot of horse crap, just a lot of horse dung. The two-day clock would not begin until Thursday, and if senators do not return 2 days later, the fines begin. I don't know, you know, I don't know. But I do know that, I do know this. The governor was elected. The majority of Republicans were elected. I get it that you guys want to make a statement. I think you've made your statement. But to actually decide, even though the popular vote was thus and so, even though it was that was the case, we're going to interrupt the democratic process. That's what's happening.
Well, wait a minute, man. They got the right to protest and everything.
They have the right to protest, and apparently, according to the Wisconsin Constitution, they also have the right to stop the business of the state. They have the right to stop the democratic process. So, to me, you know, I would say I made my point. But after all, what's right is right, and I think that there's a vote before us, and we should go in there like men and women and make our voices heard and say that it sucks, and we don't agree, and we vote against it. But, we're going to live with it because this is the system we live in, man. You understand that, right, Wisconsin? This is the system we're living in here. Unfortunately, you got beat, man. Unfortunately, you don't have the votes. What do you want? You can vilify a man and call him a piece of crap. You can say they're a bunch of Nazis. You can say whatever you want. You can get fat ass on your side there, Michael Moore, who was shifting between lauding everybody that was protesting there in the Capitol Dome in Washington or in Madison, and then also commenting on the Academy Awards and how this cinematographer worked for him and that cinematographer, all of it very deftly while he was sucking from one chicken leg to another. While he was unwrapping one Hershey bar after the next,
You know, you ain't exactly the skinniest guy.
I told you. I know I'm not skinny. Fat guys can make fun of other fat guys. Do you understand?
Well,
no. Do you understand?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I can make fun of him all I want, man. If he wants to make fun of me, he can do that. I can call him a fat ass until the cows come home and he barbecues them. Take it easy, bud.
Yeah.
But that fat slob was on Twitter talking about how, yeah, do it, baby, power to the people, while he was gnawing on another chicken leg that he was reaching for in a Tupperware container next to his bed because he doesn't get out of bed.
He probably lays there like that guy Larry with an oxygen tube.
Man, what are you going to do? You sound like you're going to have an orgasm.
Take it easy.
You're perverted.
Take it easy. Well, Michael Moore's there with his Twitter and a big Tupperware container of chicken legs and milkshakes. And he's tweeting about this over here in Madison. And here comes his tweets about Hollywood. And you do it, baby, and you go for it, and everybody's safe there. You know, Moore, you are a caricature. You are, I don't even know if you know how completely insincere you sound. So I would think, and that's just me, I'd say this is the process. And folks, you know, if you're a new listener to this radio show, you know, so if I say that I am pro-gay marriage, but I'm also in favor of the Republicans in Wisconsin and getting their bills passed, what does that make me? I guess that makes me some kind of untouchable weird ass. Is that it?
Well, you're like Michael Reagan.
What? What do you mean Michael Reagan? Pro-gay marriage? Anyway, we'll see what happens. Coming up next, let's find out whether I am truly pro-gay marriage or not. Charlie Sheen is on the agenda, and I'm kidding.
You know something we don't know.
No, we'll talk about Charlie Sheen coming up and other items here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. Our website, philhendryshow.com. Check it out.
Radio.
We'll be right back.
For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Now, I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have an episode of Iron Swine coming up. Am I right about you guys ready to go?
Yeah, hold on just a minute. I got to get my pants on.
What are you talking about your pants, man?
I'm in a bathroom.
Hold on. I got to get my pants on. Okay, are we ready? Here we go.
Wonderful feeling.
What was that?
What? Iron Swine.
Yeah, this is Iron Swine. Today on Iron Swine, we go to Michael. We gotta go to deliver Michael Moore breakfast.
Yeah, Iron Swine gets a call. Iron Swine. Hello, Iron Swine.
Yeah, man. I gotta eat, man. I'm Michael Moore. I gotta eat.
Yeah, bring up. I'll get the breakfast.
Well, Iron Swine, come over to Michael Moore's house, and then the lady, she get the food.
8 fried pork sausages.
Yep, that's it.
What else do you want to have? Tell them what the whole order.
8 fried pork sausages, 6 fried eggs, 2 large plates of French fries, 10 slices of fried bread, 2 ham and cheese bagels.
And then?
Yay as hell.
There's Iron Swine.
Iron Swine, and we just delivered it.
That sucked, you guys.
What? That's bitching.
That sucked. Iron Swine delivers breakfast.
Yeah, man, I bet you that's what he has.
What else does that lady say? Let me hear this.
8 fried pork sausages, okay. 6 fried eggs,
right.
2 large plates of french fries,
okay.
10 slices of fried bread,
got it.
2 ham and cheese bagels,
okay.
8 steaks,
ouch.
4 portions of rice,
ouch.
10 cakes,
uh-oh.
1 portion of spaghetti bolognese,
love it.
6 potatoes,
uh-huh.
2 large cups of tea,
mercy.
Each with 7 sugars,
yes.
1 gallon of fresh orange juice,
yeah.
And 1 quart of punch,
ooh.
A total of 14,349 calories.
Can you dig it?
Yes.
Man, how much a person supposed to have?
A human being? What is it, 35? A big guy? Like a guy like me, 3,500 calories? Something like that?
And I get 14,000.
Yeah, not to mention...
I like Wiener.
But,
you're getting in trouble for that.
Yeah, 3,500 calories equals 1 pound. Is that what you're saying, Jason? 3,500 calories equals 1 pound of extra weight. Average man, oh, I see. So the average man shouldn't consume more than 2,000 to 2,200 calories unless they are athletes, which means they're going to be consuming and burning a lot of carbs. Well, you know what? You know what 2,200 calories is? 2,200 calories is 2 average-sized steaks. So what Mr. Rance is telling us is that the average man should eat no more than 2 average-sized steaks a day. Are you out of your mind?
Gay as hell.
No way, man.
He knows what he's talking about. You don't know what you talk about.
I know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you why I know what I'm talking about. Because it just so happens that I took Mr. Rance's advice once, and I started counting calories. Not that he's a calorie counter, but I realized, I said, I just had my day's worth of calories. You know, I had 2,500 calories, and it was simply 2 medium-sized New York strip steaks. And I love steak, you know.
Yeah, but the good thing about that, man, is you can eat as much of that as you want.
Well, here's the thing. Counting calories is kind of stupid. What else are you saying here, Rance? 2,200 is based on the average person's diet, which would include more carbohydrates and less protein and fat, of course. But it's 2,200. However, here's the thing. 140 calories, you say, of Coca-Cola is like deadly, right? So if I was doing a 2,200 calorie a day diet, and I rounded out that 2,200 calories with 140 calories from a diet soda or from a soda, you're telling me that's, no, you're wrong. One strip steak is only about 400. No, you're wrong. 8 ounces? No, you're. No way, man. If you have two 16-ounce steaks. Anyway, make a long story short. A Coca-Cola is 140 calories, but he claims it's worse.
Well, I mean, Coca-Cola, you said since you stopped drinking Coca-Cola, how much weight you lost?
I've lost 16 pounds.
You are just not drinking a Coca-Cola, or did you drink Coca-Cola?
What?
Do you drink the Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
What do you mean Coca-Cola, man? Quit acting like a jackass and tell me what you're talking about.
I'm just saying, you get Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Get out of here before I start swinging on you. Coca-Cola. Where am I, man? Atlanta?
What's that mean, Atlanta?
That's the way they say, never mind. That's the way they say Coca-Cola in Atlanta, which is the capital. It is the headquarters. It is the main thing for Coca-Cola. And they say Coca-Cola down there. All right. Supreme Court, anti-gay funeral picketers are allowed. The Supreme Court ruled on Wednesday that a grieving father's pain over mocking protests at his Marine son's funeral must yield to First Amendment protections. This is this Westboro Baptist Church, which I must say, I thought they were kidding. And I realize they're not. Now, you and I, we look at something like that and we think, how can anybody do that? It is ego, is what it is. It's absolute, consummate ego. It is a sin if you go strictly by the Christian code. If you go strictly by the Bible, what they're doing is an absolute sin against God and against, and again, I'm not a Christian, but I play one on television. And
yeah.
No, so what I'm saying is this. This is pure, unadulterated ego. It has nothing whatsoever to do with God. It has everything to do with Fred Phelps and his egocentric, egotistical hag of a daughter, Shirley, and the rest of those closet homosexuals. Thank you very much, and a very pleasant...
I like Wiener.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think I understand about how you think that they're, like, you know, in a closet, but on the same token, if they're not.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Why did I even ask you? We're going to talk a little bit more about the Supreme Court ruling, believe it or not, folks, and put yourselves in the position of that father, that these bastards can be standing there as your young son, a Marine, is being laid to rest, and they're saying, God hate good, your son's going to hell. Your son's going to hell. And there's nothing you can do about it? And also the story of a wife clinging to the hood of her husband's car because... I don't know. It was like a custody dispute or something with a car. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, welcome back here, and it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we broadcast here across the country on great network of great affiliates, as well as on our webcast, Phil TV, which is in HD now. You can check it out at philhendryshow.com. We were on this topic, and I want to stay with this for just a second. The Supreme Court, the anti-gay funeral picketers, et cetera, and so on and so forth. Now, we interviewed this Shirley Phelps, and she is not a stupid woman. She's very smart. She's an attorney. Her father's an attorney. Her father, as a matter of fact, was one of those advocating for the integration of schools in 1954 in Brown versus the Board of Education. That is, the integration of the Topeka, Kansas schools. Fred Phelps was an advocate for integration. They have long been, according to them, and according, I guess, to the record, long been advocates of racial justice, but it does not extend to gay people. You know, and now I'm not quite sure I understand their hatred of the military to the extent that they hope that the parents of a young fallen Marine know that their son's going to hell. That's what they do. They stand there saying, you're going to hell. God hates the USA. Thank God for 9/11. But I think it has to do with the fact that America is a godless, heathen society, and so therefore any fighting force that would defend her is corrupt itself, meaning the U.S. Marine Corps, or soldiers that have died in service to the United States. I mean, all of these things are enough. If I were the father of that boy, they'd be enough for me to go out there and my own personal safety be damned to just wade into those people and start swinging with anything I had, you know?
Yeah, man, I'll be right behind you, man.
Well, you know what? We'd wind up getting killed probably, or thrown in jail, or what's worse, killing somebody and then being thrown in jail for a long time. But you have to believe that that's what they want, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, man, they're such a bunch of douchebags. They want you to go and kick their ass and everything, and then they sue you.
That's exactly what they want to do. They are provocateurs, and their point being, they're such ego cases. And you know, I was talking to Rance about this during the break. He had a good point. He says every demonstration is an egocentric demonstration. What's different between these people and what's happening in Wisconsin, other than the fact that the people in Wisconsin are convinced they're right, and these people convinced they're right, and the Tea Party, you know, with all due respect, they're right, and everybody is into their ego, and everyone's into how right they are. And I heard a guy being interviewed one day on the radio. He said, "With the big problem we have today, people are addicted to being right. Not necessarily actually right, but just being right. In other words, even if they're wrong, even if they have the most head-up-the-ass argument, they want to make sure they're right." I mean, if you're arguing with somebody, do you want that argument to come out in your favor, or do you want that argument to come out in favor of what the truth is?
I want it to come out in my favor.
Why?
Because I believe in the truth.
Yeah. That's what I'd want, too.
How do you know that what you believe, though, is the truth?
I wouldn't believe it if it wasn't.
You wouldn't believe in it if it wasn't. How do you know that it's the truth, though?
Because why would you believe in something that ain't the truth?
Well, you wouldn't want to believe in something that ain't the truth, would you? All right. So what if you found out that what you believe is not the truth? Would you abandon it and believe something else?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then if you were arguing with somebody and you found out that your point of view wasn't the truth, would you abandon it and go to something else?
I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? If I'm arguing with somebody...
What do you mean, what do I mean?
If I'm arguing with somebody, I know I'm right.
If you're arguing with somebody, you think you're right. You don't necessarily know that you're right.
No, I know I'm right because I want to be in the... or know about the truth. And...
But you don't even know what you're talking about, man. If you're arguing with somebody, you think you're right. If you're arguing with somebody, you think you're right, but you don't know. I mean, you can only hope. You can only, maybe there's some things that we know. But, I mean, if the other person's argument with you or the other person's points to you were so logical and were so crystal clear, don't you think you could be convinced?
No, but that's why I believe what I believe, because I was convinced.
You were convinced when? In an argument?
Yeah.
With who?
Probably that same guy.
Well, you get out of here. You clowns don't even know what I'm talking about. Are you willing... Do you have enough of a love of the truth? Are you willing to say, you know what? You convinced me. You're right. I was wrong. How, do we do that ever in this world of ours?
Well, I mean, probably people do, but not in the news.
Yeah, but you got that right, man. Probably people do, but it ain't in the news. Probably, you know, for instance, do you ever think that fat ass... would you think fat ass would stand there and somebody would be talking to him about something? He'd say, you know something? You're right, man. I was wrong about that. You think he'd do that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. You know why? Because he's got his life, his career, his image, and everything is wrapped up in being so self-righteous and sanctimonious that he can't afford to be wrong. Some people have an investment in the credibility of their righteousness that they can't afford to be wrong. So that's where we are. So you have this group of people saying that God hates the USA, thank God for 9/11, and one that combined the U.S. Marine Corps motto, Semper Fi, with a slur against gay men.
I wonder what that was.
Well, Semper Fi, I don't know.
Probably something having to do with, like, sex, you know, with the butt.
Well, all right, you don't graphically say it, okay?
Oh, I thought you wanted to know.
I can imagine. Justice Samuel Alito, the lone dissenter, said Snyder wanted only to bury his son in peace. Instead, Alito said the protesters brutally attacked Matthew Snyder to attract public attention. Our profound national commitment to free and open debate is not a license for the vicious verbal assault that occurred in this case. And he has a point. Don't we have something called hate speech? Don't we have something called, a hate speech, a provocative racial pronouncement.
Yeah, you can't call a man the N-word.
Well, I don't know if you can call him the N-word, but we have a thing called hate speech wherein if, say, violence ensues, you can charge somebody with hate speech. But why can't we have something that protects an individual who's trying to bury his son? Now, the ruling, though, was in line with many earlier court decisions. This is what Mark Sherman of the Associated Press says. It sucks, but... The court's being consistent. A year ago, the justices struck down a federal ban on videos that show graphic violence against animals. One of the reasons why they did that was not because that we had an unlimited right to show violence against animals. They did it because the law wasn't written properly. There is a limit. There are limits that could be set, but you couldn't just generally say no expressions like that. In 1988, the court unanimously overturned a verdict that was in favor of the Reverend Jerry Falwell in a libel lawsuit against Hustler magazine. It was against Larry Flint. Larry Flint had a parody ad in his magazine that basically said, "Hi, I'm Jerry Falwell, and I learned sex from my mother in an outhouse while drinking Smirnoff vodka." Something like that.
You kidding me, man? I didn't see that.
That was the slur.
Yes, I thought.
Uh-huh. So anyway, the federal court overturned that, saying, no, that's legitimate parody. It's rough. It's real rough, and it's real vicious. But he's allowed to do that. What might have made this case different was that the Snyders are not celebrities or public officials, but private citizens. Both Roberts and Alito agreed that the Snyders were the innocent victims of the long-running campaign by the church's pastor, Fred Phelps, and his family members, who make up most of the Westboro Baptist Church. Roberts said there was no doubt the protesters added to Albert Snyder's already incalculable grief. But, Roberts said, the frequency of the protests and the church's practice of demonstrating against Catholics, Jews, and many other groups is an indication that Phelps and his flock were not mounting a personal attack against Mr. Snyder, but expressing deeply held views on public topics.
What do I mean, deeply held views?
Who knows? Indeed, Matthew Snyder was not gay. But Westboro believes that God is killing American soldiers as punishment for the nation's sinful policies. Speech is powerful. It can stir people to action, move them to tears of both joy and sorrow, and as it did here, inflict great pain. On the facts before us, we cannot react to that pain by punishing the speaker. Well... And the father, Mr. Snyder, said, my first thought was those eight justices don't have the common sense God gave a goat. We found out today we can no longer bury our dead in this country with dignity. You know, that's the whole thing. I don't think we ever figured, maybe when the country was founded, I don't think the founding fathers figured on the extremes that people go to for speech. But nonetheless, when the country is in a juvenile sort of period, as it is right now, and by that I mean mentally juvenile, where, again, we're like a bunch of teenagers, all we want is me, then, you know, it's going to happen. I think there's going to be decisions like that.
Well, I think if I was there, I'd go and beat up on the Phelps guy.
You know, beat up on him, man. You're going to get thrown in jail. You know, forget it, man. It's not even worth it. Not even worth it. All right, we got Charlie Sheen coming up, man. And so we're going to go to a break because I want to save all the good stuff for after the break because Charlie Sheen, I mean, not really. But, you know, it's interesting to find out what's going on with Charlie. I mean, we're going to be watching you now, Charlie, every day of your life. We're going to be watching you. And if you slip just once... Anyway, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here. A woman has survived a wild ride clinging to the hood of her husband's car. He was driving 100 miles per hour, and he's a meth addict. Yes, that fun, that frivolity, that joy...
Can you dig it?
...was had by a woman in Manteca, California. A California woman holding on for her life. Her husband, Christopher Carroll, 36, was driving while he was allegedly in the middle of a drug binge. And she tried to stop him by jumping on the hood of the car, you know.
Well, that's about the nuttiest thing what I ever heard.
Well, who knows, man? Maybe she was panicked or drunk or, you know, I'm not saying she was on meth, but obviously she was trying to get her husband under control. It ain't going to happen. As he backed up on the driveway, she was thrown and her foot became stuck on the vehicle's side mirror. She told ABC affiliate KGO in San Francisco, I was holding on literally by the tips of my fingers and basically my ankles. The woman whom ABC News has chosen not to identify because she's the victim of domestic abuse was able to look at her husband in the eye through the windshield as he drove at speeds up to 100 miles per hour along a highway and through the mountains heading toward San Francisco. Man, that's like something out of Dirty... Speaking of San Francisco, that's right out of Dirty Harry. The unidentified woman talks to KGO Television about the night's events.
Holding on literally by the tips of my fingers and basically by my ankles. Now I know it was the stupidest thing in my life I've ever done, but I jumped on the hood of the van. He backed out quickly, and when he did that, it turned me and I got stuck.
Could you see your husband as he was driving?
Yes.
Could he see you?
Yes.
What was the look in his eye? What was he thinking?
He looked crazy. That man that was driving was not my husband.
Yeah.
He was taken over by the meth.
Well, and then he looked in the mirror and said, and kept on driving, you know.
I'll bet you that guy, every time I look at that face, it's a meth.
Oh, that face is a meth. You got to check that out on the Channel 5 website, man. Faces of meth. Anyway, here is Christopher Carroll now. Now, hold on to your hats for this one. This cat is nuts. Christopher Carroll granted KGO Television a brief on-camera appearance from prison, but he wouldn't take any questions. He merely said,
I want to tell you that I've killed Manuel and his 12 disciples. He ain't nothing on me.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Plus,
he ate my finger.
Thank you very much.
He said he ate my finger?
No, he didn't say that. I killed Manuel and his 8 disciples. They ain't got nothing on me, man.
Man, that guy's way out there.
You know, these people are messing around with meth. And meth is a speed, and as if you didn't know. But I believe with all of my heart that, and we're finding out more and more now about drug addiction. It's really interesting. It's a fascinating area to study, pharmacology. People have been trying to adjust their brain chemistry for thousands and thousands of years when they don't feel right, when things don't look right, if things aren't going right, if they're sensing. They, you know, started by eating plants, maybe smoking things, maybe, you know, going to the alchemist and finding something that he could grind up in his little dish there. And I really believe these are people, especially meth addicts, man, they're in dire need. These are people whose brain chemistry is so out of whack. It's medication.
Yeah, but I mean, that sounds like a whole lot of liberal stuff, man. I mean, these people, they just got to go cold turkey.
Yeah, the go cold turkey is fine, man. I got nothing against that. But then the guy goes out onto the street, and he's clean and so, and he's looking to do the same thing, adjust that brain chemistry again. So what's good about the new school of pharmacology is they're learning more about brain waves and about brains and saying, here's what this guy needs. Here's what she needs. Okay, I see what's happening with the alpha waves in this guy's brain, the rear part of that brain, the left part of that brain. I mean, the more we learn about the brain, the more we learn about the electromagnetic waves that course through it and the neurotransmitters, the better off we're going to be dealing with drug addicts, man. That's the way to do it. Although I know it's going to be a long time. In the meantime, kill every drug dealer between here and, Guadalajara. That's my idea. All right. Here's Charlie Sheen now. Judge bans Charlie Sheen from his kids, his ex-wife. Sheen allegedly threatened to decapitate his ex-wife. He's doing real good. The firestorm around Charlie Sheen escalated on Wednesday when a judge ordered his 2 sons removed from the actor's home after his ex-wife obtained a stay-away order against Sheen, claiming he had threatened her. Now, here's a guy that was on television just moments, days ago, talking, you know, oh, I'm doing just fine. I'm doing good, man. I'm a rock star. I'm on a drug. It's called the Charlie Sheen drug. Meanwhile, dude, reality, your kids have now been taken from you. Now, I know that we've had great men and lesser men all come up against the authorities in life. Some very great people have come up against the authorities. Some very great people have been put in jail. Some very great people have been, well, dare I say, crucified. So it's not necessarily a badge of dishonor to have the authorities roust you. But I would say having your children taken from you in this society basically means you're not cool to raise them. And you got a spouse that's saying this. The 2.5 men star told reporters he did not know where his nearly 2-year-old twin boys, Bob and Max, were taken last Tuesday night after ex-wife Brooke Mueller, won a temporary restraining order against him. The embattled 2.5 men star appeared in control on morning chat show today on Wednesday, a contrast to angry public rants in recent days, in which he accused the makers of his hit TV sitcom of wrongfully suspending the show's production for the remainder of the current season and of being a bunch of Jews. He didn't say that, but...
Well, basically said it.
Here's Charlie Sheen telling the Today Show what happened with his children last night.
They were just being put to bed, and my assistant Rick informed me that the police were on their way down to issue a restraining order. And I thought, okay, we can deal with that. Got my lawyer on the phone. And then it was revealed once I opened the door that they were there to remove Bob and Max. So, you know, I've professed in this last few weeks to last few days rather to not deal in a, you know, come from a place of panic, ego, emotion, any of that. So I stayed very calm and focused. And you know, somebody badges you, they win in that moment.
All right. Good morning, America. Health editor Dr. Richard Besser tells ABC News that Charlie Sheen's acting in a way consistent with bipolar disorder.
There are two types of bipolar disorder, also called manic depressive illness. One where you're mainly seeing depressive symptoms with occasional mania, but what you're seeing here is a full-fledged manic episode. And with that mania, you see delusions of grandeur, you know, talking about having tiger blood, having a brain and a heart that can handle all of these drugs. You see pressured speech. So he's talking very quickly. He's jumping topics. He's saying things that don't make sense. And then one of the hallmarks of manic depressive illness is this lack of judgment in all aspects of his life. And that's what makes it so hard to deal with this illness.
He's huge.
And then we have addiction specialist Christina Wanzelak telling George Stephanopoulos this.
The most loving thing a family can do, and I know that this is really painful and also very counterintuitive, but the most loving thing families can do is to let the addict go.
Let
the individual run into ourselves and face the consequences of the addiction on our lives.
Thank you very much. All right, that's all we can do with that. Our show produced by Jason Rantz, our technical director Rick Johnson, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com for your BSP, and don't forget our merchandise, best of CDs, as well as our shot glasses, and as well as our marvelous show. Get your podcasts too, baby, through iTunes. The Phil Hendry Show. Until tomorrow, forget it.
Phil Hendry.